Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Very much, Sky. So nice to have you back, and the two Steves at the same time, and Brett. Thank you. It's nice to have you back, Steve. Thank you. It's particularly kind of you to be here today so that our music director, Chris Fritchie, can have a vacation. He's been working super hard lately with Christmas and all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wouldn't you just take a moment, please, and turn around and say hello to somebody? You don't have to touch them. Don't just say hi. Yeah. Now your faces are all bright and smiling. There's something lovely about connecting and greeting, and it has so much to do with our topic for December, which is happiness and fulfillment. This is the last Sunday of the year, so it is the completion of our year-long focus, 100 years of Science of Mind. We've been celebrating the beginning of the public teaching of our founder, starting with his book in 1918, Creative Mind, and here we are 100 years later still exploring it and getting so much out of it. And what is new and different is that we're doing it together with other centers across the nation, and we will be doing the same thing next year when we embark on another year-long grassroots voluntary theme that we will explore together. So we're completing happiness and fulfillment today, talking about happiness. So I think it's appropriate to mention Gretchen Rubin, who is one of the most thought-provoking and influential writers on happiness. And on her blog, she sometimes interviews people. One of the interviews she did was with the writer and photographer Kelly Hampton. Kelly is the author of a book called Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected, and it's all about the first year of her daughter's life, Nella, who was born with Down syndrome, and the book talks about Kelly's journey and the changes in her perspectives and expectations as she moved through the world with her daughter. In the interview, Gretchen asks, "What's something you know now about happiness that you didn't know when you were 18 years old?" What a good question to ask yourself as we prepare for the new year. We might even say, what do you know now about happiness that you didn't know last year? Right? Anyway, Kelly answers the question. She says, "I know now that I am 100% responsible for my own happiness. It is a state of mind that is cultivated by my own choices and habits, not things or people. Yes, my children make me happy. Yes, sitting on the beach and watching a sunset makes me feel happy. But I cannot rely on other people and my environment to make me happy. I don't ever want to make the mistake of thinking my happiness is dependent on something, a different job, more money, another child, wood floors, a remodeled bathroom, etc." So there's the first point for our discussion today. Let's get that up there. Happiness is not entirely dependent on external things like people, places, events, and so on. And now our own philosophy, Science of Mind, would say, sure, that's true. And happiness is entirely dependent on what you think about people, places, and things. In other words, how you and I interpret the world has something to do with our happiness. Even the challenging things, we're not shying away from challenging things or making them pretty and pretending they're not challenging. We're talking about how we interpret the world. Science of Mind says that's where the secret of happiness is. And it reminds me of this beautiful book of joy, our recommended book for the month that Reverend Tara read from a moment ago. On page 254, the authors say, joy is the happiness that does not depend on what happens. It is the grateful response to the opportunity that life offers you in the moment. Oh, that's another point. It should be up on that slide. It should say, happiness is somehow connected to gratitude. Oh, well, just insert that point over there. It's too good to miss. Back to the interview. Gretchen asks, is there anything you find yourself doing repeatedly that gets in the way of your happiness? Oh, another good question. Ask yourself that question. I mean, imagine you're being interviewed by her. How would you answer that question? Is there anything you find yourself doing repeatedly that gets in the way of your happiness? Oh, we can stop right now, you know. Well, let's see what Kelly answered. She says, whenever I compare myself with others, my happiness takes a shot in the back. Right on. Whenever I compare myself with others, my happiness takes a shot in the back. So there's our point. Comparison can steal your happiness. Our Science of Mind teaching has a parallel. It would say, negative self-talk can be a problem, like critical comparison, negative comparison with others. Because negative self-talk, well, it's creative, but in a bad way. So what you say to yourself, our teaching says, matters. That's why I'm so excited about the class that's coming up in March that I'm teaching. It's called Affirmations, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. You know, and so the class is designed to help reframe the way you're talking to yourself so that can be more life-affirming, more uplifting, more friendly to yourself. And the nice thing about that class and many of the other classes is that they're available in class or in the comfort of your home online. And it just so happens that today is the end of the early bird registration discount. Yay. That could make a person happy. Another point, happiness comes from discounts. Let's get back to the interview. Gretchen says, oh, this is a good one. Have you ever been surprised that something you expected would make you happy didn't? Or vice versa? Ooh. No, just review 2018. Any surprises? Here's how Kelly answered. When I was 18, I signed up to be a summer camp counselor at a pediatric cancer camp. I expected it would be nothing but heartbreaking, that I would be overwhelmed with pity and sadness, but I thought it would be good for me and I wanted to help. At orientation, I was given my counselor pack, which included my camp t-shirt, and the screen print on the back read, Camp Catch a Rainbow, the happiest place on earth. And it was. There was an indescribable freedom at that camp to just be. In the midst of everything these kids had gone through, sickness, hospital stays, hair loss, etc., they came to camp because they wanted to have fun. They talked about their illness with such honesty and courage, it made me evaluate my own life and what I had to learn. And then she talked about how she returned for 4 years every summer to go to the camp because she started to crave what she experienced there, the happiness, the authenticity, the dancing. So she left camp better, happier. She answered, 10 years later, my own personal experience of welcoming my second daughter mirrored those first feelings on the first day of camp. Certainly, raising a child with Down syndrome was something I thought would be devastating. How wrong I was. Sometimes happiness can be found in the most unlikely experiences. And once again, I'm reminded that happiness is not determined by things or people, but by our choices and habits. So I'm choosing to be happy. There's our next point right there. Happiness can also be found in unlikely experiences. Well, let's think of our science of mind teaching. It would say something like this, using the words of St. Francis: where there is sadness, we bring the joy. Where there is despair, we are the ones to bring hope, and we do that through what we mindfully, purposefully nurture inwardly. We might say, through what is in our consciousness, we are the change factor. So in this new year, as we approach it, we might be asking, where do I think my happiness comes from? It's a tune-up. Maybe if I win the lotto. The room went quiet. It's tricky, isn't it? CNN Health, an online magazine, has an article about lotto winners, and it reminds us, yeah, it can be really fun to imagine what we would do if we won the lotto. That's creative thinking. It's fun. And the article goes on to say that in reality, some winners have quite difficult experiences. There's a story about a young mother of three, and she said sometimes she just wishes that she could change her name completely and go somewhere and hide. That's how stressful winning was. Another a family in Washington State, said all they encountered was predators to the point where they were afraid to leave their house and they had to get police protection. Look, not all lotto winning stories work out poorly. It just makes a good point for our discussion today. And the point is that happiness and sadness are possible with and without wealth. Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, that clears it up. Let's think of our science of mind teaching. Our science of mind teaching would say, as an affirmation, I am not influenced by conditions. I influence the conditions of the world by what is alive in me. And the mind of creation is in me, so the power and the creativity and the love of the divine resides in me. In fact, I bring it to life. I am the change factor. Oh, again, back to the question for 2019. Where do I think my happiness will come from? Well, we live in a very modern nation, and we can look at the advertising around us because it tells us where our happiness is hidden. Right? Not so. There is something called the Happier Planet Index. It is a study that shows that wealthy Western countries, often seen as the standard for success, often do not rank very highly when it comes to the Happier Planet Index. And if you want to know how they make that index, you can just look it up online. It's still going. It's a terrific study. Instead, several countries like in Latin America and Asia and the Pacific region, they're leading the way with happiness and well-being, even though they have a much smaller ecological footprint. In fact, countries, the study says, with the highest gross domestic product rate the lowest in the happiness index, and vice versa. of the major nation study, three of the largest countries in the world, China, India, United States, by the way, all aggressively pursuing growth-based development models, aggressively have a decreasing happiness index. There's another excellent point for our discussion. What you pursue may determine your happiness. You know, pursue, chase, what you hunt down. So what do you plan to pursue in 2019? Because apparently what some nations are aggressively pursuing is not leading them to happiness. So it's a clue. Oh, that verb, to pursue. You know, it also means to practice. It also means to engage in. It can also be used to mean to investigate or to explore or to discuss. You know, it's very broad. It's a lovely verb. So instead of saying, I'm pursuing happiness and it's my right, I can say, can reframe it, I can say, I am practicing happiness. I'm consciously engaging in happiness. I'm exploring, discussing happiness. Oh, I like that better than pursuing happiness, better than chasing happiness, because usually what I chase runs away. Chasing takes me out of the present moment. Practice is all about being available to the moment, to what is in front of me. Oh, another great question. What prevents me from being present? What do I allow to distract me from being available to now? I went to for a doctor's visit a couple of months ago. I walked into the waiting room and was filled up with people. And they were all on their cell phone, every single one like this. And very soon I was too. You know, they were sitting there and I looked up for a moment and the faces, not happy. Not happy. Except for one little girl. She was animated and alive, you know, and happy. No cell phone. She's just a doll that she was talking to so intimately. They were having such a conversation. Oh, my goodness. And I realized she had brought a bubble of happiness into a very serious room. And she did it all with her imagination. And yet, I bet her reality felt quite different to mine. Don't you wonder sometimes how we used to be before cell phones? Don't you wonder, how did we used to wait in waiting rooms? I don't remember. How did we used to go to sleep? How did we used to wake up? How did we used to, did we talk? Was that a thing? Well, you're going to love this next blog. Rachel Macy Stafford, her blog is the Hands-Free Mama blog. So you can imagine her point of view. She writes in her blog about her favorite activity as a child. When she was a girl, when they went on vacation, she used to love to rescue starfish that had been washed up on the beach. She couldn't stand to see them, you know, stranded, drying out in the sun. So no matter how long it took, she would walk down the beach on her vacation and pick up every washed up starfish and put it back mindfully in the water. That was her thing. She writes, somewhere along the line, I stopped saving starfish. Actually, I can pinpoint exactly when it happened. During my highly distracted years, when my to-do lists took over, when the pace of my life was a constant mad dash to a finish line that could never be reached, when I gripped my devices tighter than the hands of my loved ones, when I said yes to everything requested of me outside the home and said no to the most important tasks inside the home, like playing and laughing and making memories. And then she goes on to say she noticed that as an adult, her vacations even changed, because even though she was out at the beach, out at the ocean, she was so focused on the to-do list or watching her Fitbit for how many steps she had to make up before she sat down again or been ready to attend to the agenda that was waiting for her. She becomes so driven in her daily life that she stopped enjoying the journey, and when that happened, she stopped noticing stranded starfish. She writes, I remember the day I noticed again a stranded starfish. For the first time in many years, I was in the process then of waking up from my distracted state and slowly taking steps to reduce the daily distractions consuming my life. As I ran along the flat sand, something caught my eye in a tidal pool. At first I ran past it, but I just couldn't keep going. I had to go back. And peering into the stagnant water, I saw a small starfish that was missing a limb. It appeared to be dead, but I felt compelled to wade in to be certain. Oddly, my inner perfectionist didn't even balk at the fact that I had to get my beautiful running shoes wet to reach the creature. With urgency, I reached into the water and pulled it out. I turned the starfish over, expecting to see no movement, but amazingly, its tiny tube feet began to wave at me. I surmised that the poor starfish had been the partial snack of a predator, and yet despite missing a foot, it was alive and was fighting to survive. Breathe, I whispered to the broken starfish. Breathe. It suddenly occurred to me that tears were dripping down my face. I was not really talking to the starfish. I was talking to myself. Because living a chaotic, overscheduled existence meant I had become too busy to breathe, and I was tired, oh so very tired of holding my breath. Rescuing a stranded starfish like I did in the good old days stirred up a desire, a deep desire in me to continue taking more small steps toward the calm, present, gratitude-filled, hands-free life I wanted to live. Right there and then it became crystal clear what I didn't want the rest of my life to feel like. Here are the thoughts in that moment that went through my head. They are words that have become my daily prayer, my hands-free mantra, my vow to breathe. And here it is. No longer do I want to feel like I'm always running late. No longer do I want to feel like I'll never catch up. No longer do I want to feel compelled to rush my children through life. No longer do I want to feel the brush of a hurried kiss on my husband's lips. No longer do I want to feel guilty when I sit down to rest. No longer do I want to feel depleted and empty. No longer do I want to feel like each day is a blur. No longer do I want to feel half alive. Instead, I want to breathe. I vow to look my children in the eyes and step into their world. I vow to remember what my heart loves to do and then stop making excuses. I vow to close my eyes in gratitude and open my eyes in wonder. I vow to have face-to-face, soul-to-soul connection with the ones who share my life. I vow to read a book, to dance in the rain, to say, take your time and mean it. I vow to give a good kiss, leave a surprise note, do absolutely nothing now and then. I vow to rest, laugh, play, wait, dream, and breathe. And breathe. So I can truly live. You and I have the inalienable right to pursue happiness. And by that I mean to practice it. To indulge in it. And these vows may be just the example we need for how we may practice it ourselves, especially now that we are approaching the beginning of a new year. It's a wonderful time to press reset and maybe to ask ourselves, what can I do less of? What can I do more of? So that I can bring and birth the joy that is in me. And if necessary, maybe make some vows of your own. I invite you to breathe in with me and exhale into a moment of prayer as we each in our own way recognize the divine, that which is everywhere present, that which is the supreme power, the all-knowing, the wisdom of the ages, the ground of all being, the love of creation, that which is beyond all names, that which is the mind of creation itself, that. And I recognize it too, so that I can identify myself as living within it, being part of it, being made from it, as we each are. And in this sense, this felt sense of unification with each other through the divine, I come to the realization that my mind is a center of divine creativity, and that I have within me the ability to bring joy, to birth faith, to express understanding, and to feel deep, connected love, as does everyone here. And so I call that forward into expression, and even as these words are being spoken, I am rejoicing in them. I'm anticipating the outcome of this prayer. And so I give thanks. And I release this word of prayer into that aspect of the divine that we call the law, as a reminder that even now as we speak, hear, think this word of prayer, that something wonderful is happening to us through the mind of God within us. And together we say, and so it is. I invite you to take another deep breath with me, followed by a sigh, as we make the transition to the part of our service where we support our center financially, our offering. I invite the ushers to stand as you prepare your gift. If you gave electronically or at a different time, please place your hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to your contribution to this wonderful place that we call our spiritual home. Thinking with me for a moment of the wonderful good that it does in the world, and nonprofit partners who we support, the international ministries that we have helped support, thinking how your goodness, your generosity is reaching out as seeds of happiness to the world. And think with me for a moment of all the hearts touched in 2018 and how, according to the law of increase, those hearts are going out to touch others, and how we plan next year to do the same and more. And will you say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.